We're thankful to be here this morning on the Good Lord's Day. This morning, before we go into the Word of God, I would like to try to sing hymn number 45 in the Hymns of Grace, God Leads Us Along. Goes along with the message that I have on my heart today. Some through the waters, some through the fire, some through the floods, but all through the blood. Turn with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 43. The book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, 1 through 7, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. We know that God's children through the ages have always gone through trials, hardships, and afflictions. We're still in the first month of a new year of 2022, and we do not know what tomorrow holds, but praise God, we know who holds tomorrow. Psalm chapter 90 and verse 12 teaches us the truth that we should be numbering our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. And so here we find the subject that God is with us through the trials of life. God is with us through the trials of life. We read in Isaiah 43, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the privilege of prayer and worship in the house of prayer. We thank you for the Bethlehem Church, all of our members and friends. We know that they were small in number, but we trust that we're big in thy Holy Spirit. Pray now, Lord, that you comfort those that have lost loved ones. We're praying for the family of Brother Julius Stewart and their time of loss and sorrow. And we pray for all that are suffering with illness and the COVID virus and other things, that you would strengthen and heal each one according to your mercy. Forgive us that now of our many sins, and help us by your grace to proclaim thy word in spirit and truth, that it may find a lodging place in our heart, that we might be comforted by it, encouraged, strengthened, and edified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. And that is how we've been redeemed, through the precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice how this chapter begins. It says, "But now, thus saith the Lord." When you see that transitional preposition, that little word "but" in the Bible, it often comes from a contrast of something that was not so good, and then looking forward to what God is about to do for His children. "But now, thus saith the Lord," and then He addresses the children of Israel in two different ways. First, as O Jacob, and then as O Israel. Now you may remember in Genesis chapter 32 that Jacob wrestled with an angel. And when on that night that he wrestled with the angel, it turned out, I believe, that that angel was none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that angel smote Jacob in the hip, and he was lame and halt on that. He was halt on that hip and walked with a limp the rest of his days. But God changed his name from Jacob, that means a deceiver, to Israel, that means a prince with God. Jacob represents the old carnal man. Israel represents the new man that's been renewed by the operation of the Holy Spirit in regeneration or the new birth. Now notice the distinction. He created Jacob, but he formed Israel. Now in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 2, God created man and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And he was created in the image of God in righteousness and true holiness. But man fell in sin, and as a result, all of Adam's posterity died in trespass and sin. Now, we were created in the image of God, but that image was marred by sin. And so, God determined, even before the world began, that He would save a great multitude of people in a covenant of grace, the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in the fullness of time, He forms the Holy Spirit in our heart, as a child of God. We're born from above, born again. So He created Jacob, and then He formed in him the Spirit of Christ. And so we find, and then He tells us not to fear, because we have been redeem. Through the Bible, you see those two words often. Angels coming to men saying, "Fear not," and bringing various messages. The most famous of those is when the angels appeared to the shepherds on the night that Jesus was born, saying, "Fear not, for I bring unto you glad tidings of great joy that shall be unto all people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And it is through His shed blood that we have been redeemed." In the New Testament, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, we find that the New Testament sheds light on our redemption. When he says, "For as much then as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." So Peter there, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world to be our Redeemer. And He came in the fullness of time, born of a woman, and redeemed us by the shedding of His precious blood. And so we find that great truth that we have nothing to fear. We shouldn't fear what man may do to us. But we find then that as a child of God, we will pass through trials, troubles, and afflictions in this life. And most likely, we will pass through trial, trouble, and afflictions in the coming months of the new year of 2022. Job said, a man who is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And certainly Job knew that firsthand when he was stricken with boils from head to foot, and all of his family was killed. Everything he had was taken away. But we find God is faithful. He is always with us. Notice what he says, then beginning there in verse number 2. When, not if, but when thou passest through the waters. So that tells us it's not a matter that we might pass through trials in this life. If we live long enough, we will pass through trials in this life. And passing through those trials is also a phrase that gives the child of God great hope. We don't stay in the trial forever. There is an end to every trial. We pass through it and we come out on it on the other side of it. And we pray that we are better children of God for having passed through that trial of life. When we pass through the waters, he says, I will be with thee. Through the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, God promises His children that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He promised Moses that He would be with him as he led the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He promised his successor, Joshua, that he would be with him as he led the new generation of Israel into the promised land. And he has that same promise for you and I today. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, here in verse 2, he talks about passing through waters, through rivers, and through fire. And that reminds us of three very famous events in the history of Israel of the Old Testament. Passing through the water. That reminds us of when Israel crossed the Red Sea on dry ground when they came out of Egyptian bondage. Look with me in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. You might remember the story well. How that God commanded Moses to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they may worship me." And we find that time and time again, God, for his purpose of showing his glory to Pharaoh, hardened Pharaoh's heart so that he would not let his people go. But finally, they went out of Egyptian bondage into the wilderness, and they approached the Red Sea. But then once again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he pursued after Israel with all of his horses and chariots and army, and overtook them in camping by the sea. And we find that the children of Israel began to murmur and complain even at that point in the stage of their journey out of Egyptian bondage. In verses 11 and 12 of chapter 14, "And they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it has been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." They were already taking their eyes off the Lord, looking at their circumstances rather than looking at God. But what did Moses say through the inspiration of the Spirit in verse 13? Moses said to the people, "Fear ye not." Don't be afraid of them. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." How often is it hard for us to stand still? When something goes wrong in life, our first reaction is, "What can I do to fix it? What can I do to make it better?" But many times, there's nothing we can do but simply stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, there is a time for action, but there's also a time to stand still. This is one of those times. And then he says, "For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. For the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." The Lord is on our side, fighting for us. And if you drop down to verse 24, it says, "And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked to the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire, and he troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them, and he fights against the Egyptians.'" God is for you and me. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out now thy hand over the sea, the Red Sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians. And they did. And so we find that they were drowned in the Red Sea. But verse 29 says, the children of Israel walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters to them were a wall on the right hand, on the left. God redeemed Israel from the hand of Egyptian bondage. He's redeemed us through His precious blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we walk through the waters and the floods, God is with us. Notice what the psalmist says in Psalms chapter 93, beginning in verse 3 of Psalm 93. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their wave. You see, the waves of the sea of life will often rear their ugly head before us. And we may feel as if we are drowning in a sea of trouble, trials, and afflictions. But what does the psalmist say in Psalms 93:4? The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters. He created the sea, and He is more powerful, more mighty than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. His testimonies, thy testimonies, are very sure, His word. Holiness becomes thine house, O Lord, forever. We can trust in Him and not be afraid. And then our text says, when you pass through the rivers. Now, what river did Israel pass over 40 years later? The Jordan River. Look in the book of Joshua, chapter 3. Joshua, chapter 3. Remember that in the wilderness experience, that Israel rebelled against God in unbelief. They did not believe God's promise that He would subdue the enemies in the promised land and give that land to them. Because of their sin of unbelief, all of Israelites who were 20 years old and older died in the wilderness. The only one that went in was Joshua. Even Moses couldn't go in because of his sin. But this new generation is about to go in the promised land. And we find in chapter 3 of Joshua, the only way they could go in was by following the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant, that was the box made of wood overlaid with gold that contained the Ten Commandments, the law of God. And it was a symbol of God's presence with His people. And God commanded them that they were to have that ark before them. Follow that ark. And when the feet of the priest dipped their feet in the brims of the water, then they were to march forward following the ark of God. But He did say in verse 4, but yet there will be a space between you and the ark, about 2,000 cubits by measure, that you may know the way by which you must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. This is new territory to you. You've never been through here before. Your forefathers sojourned in this land, but these children of Israel, this new generation, they had never been there before. It was a brand new country. And the Lord says there's going to be a space between the ark and yourselves. That teaches us a lesson that we should never get ahead of God, but that we should always stay behind Him, looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith, that He might lead, guide, and direct our footsteps. As we face a new year, may I say, we have not passed this way before. We've never walked through 2022 before. It's brand new, and only God knows what lies ahead. And so we don't know what tomorrow holds, but God holds tomorrow. And so we know the story well, how that it came to pass that as verse 15, as the priests that bear the ark were come to Jordan, and their feet were dipped in the brim of the water, and it was during the time of harvest, when the Jordan River overflowed its banks, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap from very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho on dry ground. It says, and the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until all of Israel were passed clean over Jordan. Now, the symbolism of passing over the Jordan River has a couple of, at least two meanings. First, and we might think of it as passing through death with our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when Jesus died, we were represented in His body. When He died, we died with Him. When He was buried in that borrowed tomb, we were buried with Him. But when He rose again on the third day, we rose with Him on the third day. Interestingly enough, in verse 2 it says, and it came to pass that after 3 days, the officers went through the host. It was after 3 days they passed over the Jordan River to the other side. 3 is the number of resurrection. On that third day, Jesus rose again from the dead. So when we pass through the rivers of death, God is with us, and He brings us to the other side. It could also be a symbol of our baptism, being buried under the waters of death, figuratively, and then rising up again to live a life in newness of life. As Paul says in Romans chapter 6, therefore we are buried with Him in baptism, that like as He was buried, that we should live in newness of life. And then going into that promised land is pressing into the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven here in this world. And then third, passing through the fire reminds us of the 3 Hebrew children that were cast into the burning fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel chapter 3, remember, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, was filled with pride, and he made himself a god. He made a golden image, and he made a decree in all of his kingdom that whenever the sound of music was played, that all the people of his kingdom, they were to bow down and worship King Nebuchadnezzar. But the Israelites would not do that. In particular, there were three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were known to the king. As a matter of fact, they had been set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. In other words, they were in the government. They had risen to a place of power in the Babylonian government. But it was told the king that these three men would not bow down and worship him. And the king's wrath was very hot against them. And so we find he gave them a quote-unquote second chance. He talked to them and said, okay, now, if you'll bow down, I won't cast you into the fiery furnace. But they said in verse 16, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. That is, we don't have to give this matter a second thought. We know what our answer is. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to say, well, what should I do? They knew immediately their only choice was to obey God. And that's our only choice today. And they said, if it be so, our God whom we serve, He's able to deliver us from that burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O King, regardless of what happens. God is with us. He will deliver us. But let it be known unto you, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I pray that God will give us the resolve to be that faithful in the face of temptation, that we will not serve the gods of this world. And he was so angry that he commanded the fiery furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than normal. And the men that cast him in, they were consumed by the flame. But then Nebuchadnezzar was astonished in verse 24, and he said, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered him, said, true, O king. But he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God. God protected them in the fire, and they passed through that fire with not even the smell of smoke on their garments. Not a hair of their head was singed. And then when that experience, and God had to reveal to the king that it was Jesus Christ that was in there with them, the Son of God. There's no other way that he could have said the form of the fourth one is likened unto the Son of God. And so then the king made a decree that no man speak evil against the God of the Hebrew children. When you pass through the waters, when you pass through the river, when we pass through the fire, God is with us, holding our hand. We are precious to Him. Now back in our text in Isaiah chapter 43. Notice what he says. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom. That's a reference to the destruction of the Egyptians in the Red Sea. Since thou was precious in my sight. We are precious in God's sight because He loves us. Why does He love us? I don't know. Other than it pleased Him to love us. We're precious in His sight. He says, I have loved you. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for your life. He loves us with an everlasting love Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 31:3, "Therefore with loving kindness does He draw us unto Himself." Then He says, "Fear not, for I am with thee." Verse 5, "Don't be afraid, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will bring your seed from the east, gather you from the west. So I will say to the north, give up. To the south, keep not back. To bring my sons from afar, my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone who is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Fear not. Do not be afraid. We have been formed for God's glory. That's our purpose in life, that we may glorify our Father who is in heaven. That our lives would magnify His name. For we are called by His name, created by for His glory. And so this Lord's Day, notice what He says as we close now. Look there in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "Let your conversation, let your manner of life, manner of living, the way we live, let it be without covetousness." Don't covet other men's possessions. "And be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He will provide for that which we need, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." There it is. Don't fear what man may do to you. We will face persecution if we live godly in this life. We'll face trial. But when we pass through them, we will be better for it. On the other side, we'll be refined as gold tried in the fire. We will be purified that we might serve Him better and glorify Him all the days of our lives. God bless you this day is my prayer for Christ's sake.